Fellow race fans, a new edition of the USF Pro Insider, episode number 61. It is Monday, May the 13th, and really, all you got to say is one word to get things underway, right? Indianapolis. We were on the road course last weekend for rounds for USF 2000 and USF Pro 2000. It was a fantastic weekend at IMS, a three-day Thursday, Friday, Saturday event, as things are at the Grand Prix weekend. Good weather all around. Cool, we had some rain on Thursday, for sure. It hit pretty hard, but we had cool mornings up to about mid-60s during the day. So all in all, just a really good weekend. So again, rolling in here to episode 61. I will have guests coming on as well. Liam Skeets from TJ Speed, the USF Pro 2000 driver from New Zealand, as well as Indianapolis's own Elliot Cox for Sarah Fisher-Hartman Racing Development, both drivers having very successful weekends at Indianapolis on the road course. We will jump in first to a bit of a race report. I'm going to shorten it up a little bit. I went deeper into the first couple race reports, and I don't know that we need to go that deep. If you want to go back and see the race, you can watch it on YouTube. You can watch it on the USF Pro Championships app. The press releases are out there. Everything you need. I'll just do a quick synopsis here as we get things underway. USF Pro 2000, as we know, driver who was really dominant, essentially, was Nikita Johnson for VRD Racing. He wins the first two races of the triple header, essentially going away. Liam Skeets and Lockie Hughes, second and third. Good battling up front, though, if you watch the race. Hughes led at a time. Skeets was up front. Johnson was up front, as we know. Just good racing, all told, in both of those events. One, of course, on Friday, and then the other two on Saturday. One early in the morning, one at the noon hour, right before Indy Next and IndyCar. That race for USF Pro 2000, there was a lot of people had already rolled in there. Great to have the drivers at the very top level of the USF Pro Championships, in front of a lot of spectators there for the weekend, because it seemed like it was a really well-attended event. I will say this, the autograph sessions were packed. We did 20-minute autograph sessions for each series, and we essentially had to cut things off. There was that many people that wanted to meet our drivers, which I thought was fantastic. Move forward into race number three, and Simon Sykes actually coming up big. The Pabst Racing team stepped up. So here a little bit of a synopsis on Sykes, if you didn't see it. Trouble in the opening lap of qualifying. Did not get a lap in. So he started, I think, 21st in race one. He used his race one time to move to 17th to start race two. And then they elected to bring him in after midway through, put some fresh tires on, move him up the order. So he started race number three on the outside of the front row alongside Johnson. Eventually, Simon Sykes was able to settle in, reel in Johnson, make a beautiful pass around the outside of turn number one, and come away with his first USF Pro 2000 victory. So big ups to the guy who won the championship in USF 2000 last year with Pabst Racing. Got them that driver championship they were looking for, and then has moved up, of course, with Pabst and gets his first win, which is big because it also moves him up into seventh place in points after a rougher start to the season. I do have my takeaways. First, Sykes wins, Johnson second, and Lockie Hughes on the podium again. Three straight podiums for Lockie Hughes. Skeets ends up in fourth, but Sykes wins that one. Takeaways for USF Pro 2000 at the Indy GP weekend. Nikita Johnson takes firm hold of the championship chase, obviously with the amount of victories he's locked down here this year. Interesting stat, both Nikita Johnson and Lockie Hughes, both on the podium, all three races last year in USF 2000, and all three races this year in USF Pro 2000. They were on the podium for all six races for the two of them, crossing the two series in 2023 and 2024. I think that's just fantastic. For me, one of the bigger stories, of course, was Liam Skeets for TJ Speed. We're going to talk to Liam a little later on in the podcast. Really showed what he's made of, which I think is awesome. He got a podium coming out of the gate at St. Petersburg. It's still in the hunt through NOLA, but then stepped right back up in a big way here in Indianapolis. This kid deserves to be on this level. He's a championship contender. And I know, like many drivers, he's kind of race to race in terms of budget. Man, I hope this kid finds the backing and the support he needs from New Zealand and from wherever, because he could easily work his way up to IndyCar. He's got a lot of skills and just a really nice young kid. As I say young kid, he's a nice young man as well, 18 years of age. So I'm excited to see what he's able to do. Very impressed to me. And then last but not least, takeaway from USF Pro. Again, strong strategy call from Pabst Racing. to get him to get Simon Sykes back up front for race three. You know, they could have held on. He probably could, because I think he finished 10th in race one. Let's say he fights back to another top 10. He's still not going to go any quicker. Probably going to start at the tail of the field again. This time they turn around. They put him on the front row with a great call to go to fresh tires in race two. I think during one of the yellows. He has clean air and comes away with a race win. So you think about how that could turn the tides for Simon Sykes. Big, in my opinion. Provisional results. And I'll say the provisional championship results. After 8 of 18 rounds, Nikita Johnson was 235 points, well ahead of Hunter Yaney from TJ Speed, who had a good weekend. Not a fantastic weekend, but a good weekend. He was top 10. A couple incidents, but was able to come away nicely with 147 points. Lockie Hughes with 3 podiums, big time. Works his way up to third, just 6 points behind Yaney. Liam Skeets now only 17 points behind his TJ Speed teammate in fourth. Christian Brooks, top 10 all weekend long. Fifth, Chase Denmark, pretty much the same in sixth. Simon Sykes up to seventh, as I had said. Then the BN Racing drivers, Nicholas Baptiste and Ricardo Escoto, eighth and ninth. And Frankie Mossman, sadly, 10th place in points right now with 91 points. But there's no doubt that he did not show everything he had. He had a lot of speed in that Jay Howard car. I know they had a mechanical in one of the races. So I think Mossman will look back and go, man, I was there. I had the pace. So watch for Mossman to step up. I still think he's going to be on the podium before the end of the season, maybe able to get a race win. It's always tough when you're a single-car effort. Let's move to USF 2000 right now. Couple of races on the docket, doubleheader for those drivers. Out of the gate, Exclusive Autosport, super quick on the weekend. No doubt about that. Joey Prienza, Evan Cooley, Thomas Schrag, very fast. Giovanni Cabrera making his debut in USF 2000 on the weekend. Super big surprise in qualifying. Evan Cooley, USF 2000 debut, having run a couple of weekends in USF Junior so far. Boom, puts it on the pole. That shook everybody up in a big way. Got into it with Max Taylor a bit at the start. He fell back. Taylor able to get the lead. He goes on for his first win. So kudos to Max Taylor for getting that first USF 2000 victory for VRD. Always nice to get that out of the way. Joey Brienza coming home in second spot. Evan Cooley fights back to third. So second and third for Exclusive. Big weekend for them. Cooley then turns around and, of course, starts on pole for race number two. It ends up being a big battle between Cooley, who goes back up front, Nico Christodoulou from VRD Racing, late race yellow, last lap into turn number one. Nico tries the outside. Cooley's on the inside. A little bit of a brake lockup. They make contact. Left front wheel ahead of Christodoulou's right rear. As we've seen before, lock wheels like that. Nico ends up going over for a big flip on the exit of turn number one. Everybody held their collective breaths. AMR IndyCar safety team on the scene. He gets out of the car. Everybody, man, you know, obviously huge to see that. Very happy to see he was okay. Again, shout out to like what we saw at Barber with the Tatis safety and the strength of the Tatis chassis when Ava Dobson got into Bruno Ribeiro on that wreck in turn three. The halo, the Tatis tub, everything. Nico's okay, climbs out, good to go, which is just absolutely awesome. In the end, those two drivers kind of, Cooley's able to continue. He ends up in fourth on track, but gets a penalty for the contact. Max Garcia sitting there in third. I'll take it. He gets a victory and helps him extend his point lead to 40 points now over Evagoras Papasavas. Max Taylor backs up a good weekend, finishing in second. And Elliott Cox, who was right there, P5, had a really strong run after a seventh in race one, ends up being on the podium. Indianapolis kid on the podium at the Speedway. One of the biggest stories of the weekend for sure. My takeaways, breakthrough for Max Taylor. Let's see whether or not that continues, because anytime a driver gets that first win, the confidence is there, the momentum's there. Now we go to the Oval next, not a road course, which might have played a little bit better for Max, but we will be at Road America after that. So, but again, just big breakthrough for Max Taylor to get that win. Stellar USF 2000 outing, as I said, for Evan Cooley with a pole and a podium in race number one. Man, he's going to go back to USF Juniors. Lots of momentum, lots of confidence. Again, Exclusive Autosport definitely on their game all weekend long. Second and third in race one. But potential to win in race number two. Thomas Schrag was right there in the top five, top six all weekend long. Zero luck for him. He gets taken out both races. So they could have had a third driver up in the top five for sure. Max Garcia, as I said, taking that gift to extend his point lead. And the last, but not least, the takeaway. Elliott Cox and you're going to hear this in the interview. He's the other driver that I'm interviewing here in the podcast. His new mindset, focus on finishing races, minimizing mistakes, big. He gets his first career USF 2000 podium in the home race. That's kind of my takeaways from USF 2000. Provisional points after 7 of 18 races. Still not to the halfway point. Max Garcia, your point leader by 40 markers over Evagoras Papasavas, who had some issues on the weekend. Not a great weekend for the guy who literally came in with, you know, 5 straight podium finishes. He ends up with 5 straight top fives, I believe, or 6 top fives, and then had an issue in race number 2. Sam Corey, just behind Papasavas. Sam, not overly thrilled with the weekend, even though he had 2 top tens. So, it says a lot for Sam Corey and his expectations right now. He's only 4 points behind in third. You go back another 19 points to Max Taylor in fourth. Elliott Cox now on his consistency. He's quite a bit behind Garcia, but wins are going to come. He's fifth. Brienza sixth. Nico Christodoulou in seventh. Ayrton Houck, another driver. Tremendous run in race number 2. Ends up in fourth. Again, another Indianapolis driver wanting to do big at the Speedway. He is super pumped. He's eighth place in points. Hudson Schwartz in ninth. And Quinn Armstrong, who had a rough weekend all around, got taken out of the start of some chaos at the start of the opening race and then had trouble. Again, not of his own doing in race number 2 as well. So that is your top 10 in points for USF 2000. As we know, Nikita Johnson and Max Garcia, the 2-point leaders who will take P1 in to the Freedom 75 and Freedom 90 at the Carbonite Classic next week at Indianapolis Raceway Park. Okay, so on to the first interview of the show here, the USF Pro Insider. Again, my name is Rob Howden. The first guest, I had a chance to talk earlier on today with Liam Skeets from TJCB Motorsports. The kid had success in New Zealand, karting, Formula Ford. You'll hear about the success he's had. Motivates him to look towards the U.S., and I'll tell you, he has hit the ground running in USF Pro 2000. He tested last year at the Fall Combine with TJ Speed. I'll tell you, this kid could be a championship contender. The season's far from old over. TJ Speed is hitting their marks with both Liam and Hunter Yaney. Tim Neff's operation dialing things in. Skeets comes in. 4 podium finishes on the year so far. 4th place in points. You know a race win is just around the corner. A quality young man for sure. So let's go right now to my interview with the driver from Auckland, New Zealand, Liam Skeets. And indeed, Liam Skeets, the Kiwi, joining us here on the USF Pro Insider podcast here on a Monday, following, of course, the event at the Indianapolis Grand Prix weekend at the Motor Speedway. Liam, first off, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you taking the time.
No, thank you very much, Rob, for having me. It's great to be here.
You know, you and I talked a bit in the off season about coming over here. You'd obviously been here for the Fall Combine back in October. So for us to have you here so far full time is obviously fantastic. As you know, as everyone knows that follows my podcast, one of the reasons I do this is obviously to try to give some awareness and let people know who these young drivers are who are part of the USF Pro Championships. Of course, you coming in from New Zealand. We've had a number of drivers from New Zealand before, but this is, again, Liam Skeets, 18 years of age. Like so many racers, Liam, coming up through karting first, right? You got your starting karting. You went to Formula Ford, a class that I'm very, very big on. Love Formula Ford. Let's just start really briefly. Tell me a little bit about your karting career. How old were you when you started, and what got you into racing?
I started go-karts at 6 years old. My dad raced himself, so I've grown up around a racetrack ever since I can remember. And yeah, one day he just brought me out to the go-kart track. I mean, obviously watched it, fell in love, kind of a cliche story. And yes. Yeah, the passion and the love for it grew from there.
You know, it's not hard to believe, right? Any of us who came up in racing just wanted to race something. And the minute you get a chance to get behind the wheel, you're locked and loaded for sure. So you did, so did you kart for like, you know, 10 years kind of thing? When did you get into to Formula Ford?
Yeah, I karted for close to 10 years. Came away as a 5-time national wind champion back home in New Zealand. Then jumped into Formula Ford at about 16 years old. I was also lucky enough to represent New Zealand and Italy and Australia for go-karting, which was a great opportunity. And it gave me a taste for the overseas scene before I jumped into cars, which was actually very beneficial. I later found out in my career. And then progressed onto Formula Ford, where I did 2 seasons of that. First season was for sure difficult because go-karting to Formula Ford is quite a substantial jump, and there was a lot to learn. But no, yeah, the first year treated it as a learning year. Of course, there were more lows than ups. But the second year, we really pushed for the title. And yeah, it's a funny story actually. I was leading the New Zealand Formula Ford Championship with one race to go. And about two laps to go in the final race of the season, the clutch blew out, and we lost the championship there and then. So, yeah, it's one of those stories that you hear every once in a while. One of those heartbreak ones, but you know, those kind of stories kind of nurture you into the driver I am today. So I'm grateful for it. But yeah, it was for sure heartbreaking.
Yeah, you didn't feel that way at the point, right? But you realize that it probably pushed you a little bit more mentally. Let's jump back very briefly because I wanted you mentioned the fact that you got a chance to go run overseas in karting, and I think that's it's not something I really touch on a lot. And you're right. So, what did you run with a factory team over there? Was it were you what kind of karting were you in at that point? Were you doing the world level stuff, or were you in Rotax? What were you doing?
I went to the Rock Cup Super Finals in Lanato in Italy. Yeah, we ran with Ward Racing. Yeah, I was very new to the experience, probably a little bit out of my depth, to be honest. I think I went there when I was about 12 years old, just for for the one-off event. It was very cool. I really enjoyed it. The results weren't that strong, but we still managed to make, I think, the B final and finish somewhere in the top 10. Yeah, that was my first taste of international karting.
I actually announced that race a couple of times a number of years ago. I think back in 12 and 13, I announced that race. And the Rock Cup Super Final at South Garda is absolutely a fantastic race. And great to see that you had a chance to go there. So back to Formula Ford. You almost won the championship in Formula Ford. So where do you go from there? Obviously, we know you end up with us here with TJ Speed Motorsports this year in USF Pro 2000. What was the transition? Because, of course, we can talk about the success you had earlier this year in the Formula Regional Oceania Championship. But where did you go from Formula Four? What was next up on the essentially what were you 16, 17 at that point?
Yeah, I was 17 when I wrapped up Formula Ford, and I headed into my first year of Wings and Slicks cars in what used to be called the Toyota Racing Series, but it's now called the Castrol Toyota Formula Regional Oceania Championship. And yeah, it was my rookie season. I was obviously very inexperienced in those type of cars and up against stiff competition. No, it went very well. We were kind of surprised with the how well it went, to be honest. Ended fourth in the championship with a few feature race podiums. Yeah, no, I love that championship for sure. I mean, anyone that's looking to do, I guess, off-season training for people in Europe and America, it is so beneficial. It was so beneficial for my development. Yeah, I'm very grateful that I got to race in that.
And obviously, with our partnership that we have with the good folks over there at the Formula Regional Oceania Championship, you got a chance to come and do the fall combine. You didn't have to pay for the entry fee that was kind of, that came from running the whole season. But you mentioned how good it was last year. This year was a strong season as well, where you finished second in that program. You end up winning actually the New Zealand Grand Prix as well. But you look, I remember watching some of the races last year. Louis Foster came down and ran. Jacob Abel came. These are two guys that are running Indy next. So they came down to get some seat time, as you said. It was stiff competition in 2023.
Yeah, it was. It's always great as a local Kiwi where you're kind of nestled away from the rest of the world and all these very good drivers and Jacob and Louis. And also Charlie and Lawrence from Europe come down in New Zealand, and yeah, the local Kiwis get to show them what we're worth. Yeah, we make it difficult for them, which is great on our home tracks. Yeah, it's great to have very, very good and experienced drivers come to New Zealand for us to race against.
So you're returning the favor to a certain extent here this year, right? They came down and raced against you down home in New Zealand. Here you come to the US for the first time. And out of the gate with TJ Speed, very strong weekend at St. Petersburg, as we know, on the podium there. And let's talk about this weekend. You come in fourth place in points right now in USF Pro 2000 after the Indy GP weekend. Got to be thrilled with that. Two podiums, three top fives in Indianapolis. A solid start to the weekend. You guys really rolled off the trailer super quick, and you went P2 in qualifying. Do you attribute that a little bit to the track time you had at the Fall Combine last October?
Yeah, definitely. It was a very, very good opening test with TJ Speed last October, Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I was very confident heading into this weekend. A large part of that was, because I had track knowledge of Indy, and I've known that I was fast there before, but also because I just had a lot of faith in the TJ Speed Motorsports crew and in the car that they'd supply me. So it was super chuffed to qualify in the front row for two races and come home with two P2 finishes. I mean, I would have loved to win a race. I tried hard for sure, but we just didn't have that edge on speed on Nikita this weekend. But for sure, later on the championship, I know we will.
Yeah, the consistency was there too, right? Like I always tell any young driver, you want to go for those race wins, but excuse me, if you can roll, you can roll back in the paddock every race, you've done your job. That's the first check mark for you. Like I said, a couple of second place finishes, fifth coming, a bit of a bounce back for not the absolute outright best weekend at NOLA Motorsports Park. Overall, what are your thoughts on Indianapolis? I always like to talk to the drivers that come into the program, especially those from overseas, down in either Australia or New Zealand. What do you think about coming to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway? It's a pretty amazing place.
Yeah, for sure. It's incredible. New Zealand tracks are nothing like that. I mean, sorry to say to the New Zealand tracks, but I mean they're amazing down there. I love them. But no, the facilities at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, nothing I've really ever experienced. And the track itself, I really like. I mean, I might be biased and just be saying that because I'm coming off a very good weekend there.
All right.
But it's quite simple, but I like simple tracks because it makes for close racing, and it kind of makes it very important that you maximize your package in qualifying and make your weekend a lot easier. But no, yeah, I really like Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and I hope to be there back soon.
Getting a chance to talk to Liam Skeets here, the 18-year-old from Auckland, New Zealand, running with TJ Speed in the USF Pro 2000 Championship this year. Let's talk about that dynamic with the team, TJ Speed. Tim Neff is a veteran, obviously, over here, IndyCar, Indy Next, now here with us in the USF Pro Championships, a Kiwi like yourself. Give me the dynamic. You guys are off to a strong start to the season. Hunter Yaney's been good. You've got good finishes. You guys are third right now in the team championship with only two cars. What's it like over at TJ Speed? Give me a little look under the hood.
It's yeah, Tim Neff and Dylan Dunsmore, my engineer, and the rest of the TJ Speed Motorsports guys have been great to me. Yeah, for sure. It's opened my eyes that it's such a professional environment I'm working in over there. I mean, any drivers that are kind of looking at what team to go with, I mean, I wouldn't recommend them enough. I think they're for sure one of the best teams, if not the best team. They run a very organized operation. And yeah, they give me a package every weekend that's worthy of winning, and it comes down to the driver just kind of finishing the job. So yeah, I've been super happy that I've kind of partnered with TJ Speed Motorsport for this season, and hopefully there's more to come.
One of the things, Liam, that I talk a lot about with families and drivers is you have to find the team that has the right culture, right? The one that fits with you. I've known Tim for a number of years. I really like Tim a lot. This guy has a burning desire to do nothing but win. I'm sure you could probably agree with that. If he's not winning, he's not happy. Do you feel that Tim Neff and you and your engineer, do you guys have that good synergy in terms of how you work together?
Yes, yeah, we do. I mean, leading into the season, Tim said to me, like, one of the most important things is to just have fun. And that's exactly what the TJ Speed Motorsport kind of culture is. I've enjoyed every minute of it. Tim really brings that kind of fun and enjoyable environment. And I feel like that's what drives the results, is not to have too much pressure on us. As I said, I'm very grateful to be with Dylan Dunsmore and Tim Neff at TJ Speed Motorsport.
Good stuff. All right, so here's one of the keys. You're coming over here, and I know you and I have talked about this. We did last fall as well. That you are doing the best you can, like so many drivers are, to find the funding, to find the people, the budget you need, the investors, whatever it may be. How's the support back home? Let's talk about that first. How's the media coverage? Obviously, we got lots of Kiwis over here right now. Scott Dixon, Scott McLaughlin, Marcus Armstrong, Tom Blomqvist was raised down there in New Zealand. He's English born, but he was, I believe, raised in New Zealand. There's a lot of racers over here in IndyCar right now. Is that helping you out, you think? Are you getting maybe a little bit more exposure, or are you, based on the fact that there's a lot of New Zealanders racing over here in the US?
Yeah, I think it definitely is helping a lot. It's great for a young Kiwi driver like me who can look up to. I mean, there's so much inspiration, not just in IndyCar, in every form of motorsport. Yeah, it's great to have the Kiwis to look up to over here. It for sure back home in New Zealand kind of raises the exposure for a young Kiwi like me, because people look at me and may think that I have a good chance at becoming one of the top guys in IndyCar. So very happy to be a Kiwi at the moment.
And that kind of begs my next question. Is that the focus? Is IndyCar the focus? Hey, I want to put another IndyCar, another Kiwi on the IndyCar grid. Is that the goal right now?
Yeah, that's for sure the ultimate goal. But I'm leaving my options open. If that doesn't work out, I mean, I'm gonna look at elsewhere. But yeah, for sure, IndyCar is, it's the pinnacle of single seater racing here in the US. And single seaters is the route I want to go down. So yeah, there's no other place that I want to be than IndyCar.
So you've obviously raced at home. You did a little overseas karting. You've done some racing around. What are your thoughts on the USF Pro Championships and racing here in the US? How's it been so far? I think you're living, kind of hanging out in Indianapolis. You got some good friends there right now.
Yeah, it's the championship is exactly what I expected. I mean, I've watched this championship for a couple years on YouTube, watching my fellow Kiwi mates who were in the development series themselves. And yeah, it's very different to, I guess, the Formula Regional racing I'm used to back home in New Zealand. And when I raced into Japan, it's a lot more, I guess, the ruling is a lot more open here, which I found very interesting. But it makes for great racing, and I'm getting used to it very quickly. I kind of have to, but no, I've loved it. I've loved every minute of it so far. Yeah, I've got some great mates down here. I mean, Francesco Pizzi, who a lot of people know,
That's trouble.
he's been a good friend for me, and yeah, he's given me a lot of advice and help as I try and navigate my way through this championship.
It's always nice to have somebody there, of course, who had ran for TJ Speed as well, shown good pace throughout the year. And hopefully we'll see Francesco either back with us or in some sports cars, whatever it may be. He's a great young guy. So listen, you got good friends here. You got people here supporting you. You got a fantastic team. Who is supporting your program for 2024? I think this is obviously a platform. Let's give you an opportunity to talk about the people that are making this happen for you, right? Because as we know, it costs a lot of money, more money even as you work your way up the ranks. But even for USF Pro 2000, that's a good chunk of change. The budget's big. Who do you have that's making it happen for you guys right now?
I'm very lucky and privileged to be in the position I am. Yeah, there's so many people to thank. I mean, I guess I'll just start rattling them off. Tony Quinn Foundation, Giltrap Group, Omega Rental Cars, James Kirkpatrick Group, JFC Limited, Armstrong's Motor Group. Oh God, I'm forgetting some.
It's okay.
Tell My Story, Cream Insurance, Wine Network. I think there may have been one more I've missed, which is a shame. But no, yeah, there's so many people behind me. I'm very lucky. Coming from New Zealand to here, the budget is for sure on another level. And it's a shame at the moment as well that the New Zealand, I guess, economy isn't thriving up against the US economy. So it makes it difficult. But no, I'm very fortunate, as I said, to have these people behind me, pushing me. To try help me achieve my dream and get to the pinnacle.
Well, you're obviously achieving results too. I think that's any drivers that that's what you're doing, right? You've got all these people behind you. They trust in you. They believe in your skills and your talents. Obviously, you and I have had a chance to talk quite a bit. Well-spoken young man for sure, and representing your sponsors and your partners extremely well. Excuse me. Let's look forward now to the next program. So we're a couple of weeks away. Actually, to be honest, it's Monday right now. You'll be on track for a test. I know at IRP. Are you testing at Mid-Ohio this week?
Yes, yep, testing at Mid-O and Road America, which I'm very excited for.
Yeah, Mid-Ohio, then Road America, then right from Road America to Wednesday testing at IRP for, of course, the Freedom 90 for the drivers in USF Pro, all part of the Carb Night Classic at Lucas Oil Raceway, Indianapolis Raceway Park. You got Mid-Ohio. We'll talk about Road America in a second. What are your thoughts first and foremost about being on the oval? Have you tested on an oval yet?
No, I've never tested on an oval. I mean, the most I've done is a few laps on the simulator, which I bet will be nothing like the real thing. But
Okay.
no, yeah, I'm going in there very green, and a lot unknown things.
Well, I can't wait to talk to you after your first session. I'm going to make sure I'm coming straight to you when you get out of the car. I think you're going to love it, Liam. It's a, every driver, once they've done it, it's such a unique challenge. I think you're absolutely going to love it, especially in the pro car. Man, they hustle around that track. It'll be fantastic. Then, of course, as you said, you're testing for Road America. We're there in the middle of June. Give me your thoughts on, obviously you've done Road America on the sim. Have you done a test there yet, possibly?
No, both of those tracks again are ones I've never been to.
You are going to love it. What are your thoughts on it? Have people kind of debriefed you yet on Road America and what it's going to be like to race there?
Yeah, a lot of people, everyone speaks very highly of Road America. Yeah, and on the sim, it's amazing. So yeah, I'm as I said, very excited to be heading there. I'm actually very excited to go to Mid-Ohio, of course, as well. That track seems to be quite tough physically. So yeah, both of them, I'm very lucky to be a racing car driver this week, going to two different tracks. So it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's I've driven Road America in a bunch of different stuff. Shifter carts, a lot of low speed formula car stuff like Formula Vs. I think you're gonna love that too. It's flowing, you know, it's got a great rhythm to it, elevation changes. Now you're on the podium. I don't want to keep going all the way through the season, but you were on the podium at St. Petersburg. I have to think, based off of that, you're also pretty thrilled probably to get up to Toronto as well. Because that race, it's an event, right? It's like a Long Beach. There's so many people there. It's been around for 30 plus years. I have a feeling that you're going to be super quick, especially you'll have had almost a year in the car already, right? So many races in the car. I have to think Toronto is going to be one that you guys would put down as a potential race winner.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm kind of looking at every event as a potential race winner. I loved St. Pete. It was my first taste of the street circuit. And we did very well there as well, which was a bonus. I've seen on board of Toronto, it looks very wild. I mean, it'll be for sure the biggest, I guess, most different thing I've ever done in my career to date. I'm very excited to go to Toronto. Yeah, as you said, the event itself will be very cool. Hopefully we go there not trying to search for that first race win, and we're already a distinguished race winner.
That's it. You've already got one on the resume, right? Good for you. Is there a race coming up? Do you have a crew coming up from New Zealand to be with you at one of the races?
I'm not sure. It's very undecided because my season itself is very up in the air. But yep. This past week, and it was great to have my mom with me at Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Awesome.
She was very proud, made me very proud. Yeah, it was awesome to have her there.
All right, let's cap this thing off. I got a couple questions for you to wrap things up. If you were to ask yourself, Liam Skeets, what kind of a driver you are, how would you characterize how you are as a driver, as a race car driver?
The first thing that comes to mind, and it's funny, I was talking to this with Francesco the other day, is I'd say I'm a smooth driver with my inputs. I mean, coming from Formula Regional, you have to be. And especially we raced on Pirelli tires in Formula Regional this year in CT Froc. I'd like to think I'm very smooth, precise, which I've kind of found out isn't kind of the best driving style, I feel, for the USF Pro car, because you really got to hustle that car to extract the time out of it. So that's pitted a little bit against me. One word to describe would be smooth.
I like the fact that you said that, you know, you've obviously picked up the car. When Louis Foster first came over, I remember one of the things, he struggled with qualifying for the first couple of races. Like you said, coming from a different tire, right? Coming from a tire at that point was the Coopers, and he was trying to figure out how to extract all the time in qualifying. Once he figured it out, he was there. But again, same with you. You've had to realize you have to evolve a little bit how you drive to hustle this USF Pro 2000 car around. So I love the fact that you've been able to figure that out quickly. And obviously, you're getting the job done. You led quite a bit here throughout the race at Indy, and we're right in the hunt for the podium all weekend long. Last but not least, I want people to be able to follow you on social media. That's obviously the best way for race fans to get a chance to follow you, obviously a future star of IndyCar, like so many of our drivers in the program. How do they follow you on social media? What platforms are you on? Give me the addresses so they know how to hook up with you.
I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. All of them are just at Liam Skeets Motorsport. I've also got my own website that's just launched recently, and that's liamskeetsmotorsport.com. You can stay tuned to all my latest racing updates by following them platforms.
Talked all about the drivers we've seen from New Zealand, folks. There's been a long list of drivers who have come up here to run in the United States. Scott Dixon, Scott McLaughlin, Marcus Armstrong, to name just a couple that are here now and really starting to thrive. Liam Skeets could be the next one who's coming through the USF Pro Championships ladder system. Great to have him with us this year. He's been a delight to have in the paddock so far. Great to have him on the podcast finally here as well. And again, like I said, coming off three top fives, two podiums at the Indy GP weekend. He was impressive, to say the least, to qualified second, fourth in points, heading to, of course, the Freedom 90, which is points and a half at Indianapolis Raceway Park. Liam, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us. And I guess I'll see you at the Oval. I can't wait to talk to you after your first session.
Yeah, thank you very much, Rob, for having me. It's been great talking to you.
Yeah, that was just a great interview. Liam's become one of my favorite guys in the paddock right now. I love the story. Just a super relaxed, calm, polite young man, which I think is fantastic in the paddock. Obviously a ton of skills, as we know. He's lined up nicely with TJ Speed. The culture is there. The connection's there, like he talked about. I think that's big. And again, as I said, great just to get a chance to speak with him. Another driver, though, if we look back at Indianapolis, we talk about how well Liam Skeets did. If you look at the other driver who had, I think, again, a lot of guys had big weekends, right? We're talking about Ayrton Houck as well. But Elliott Cox on the podium at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. That's a huge positive for this Indiana kid. Second year in USF 2000. And as I mentioned earlier, and he'll talk about it in the podcast as well, in the interview. Just a new focus from last year. You know, last year he was young. He was focused. He was aggressive. But this year, more dialed in on controlling that aggression, minimizing those errors, right? Finishing races. And when you finish races and you're quick like he is, you're getting results. Two top fives at St. Petersburg, running in the middle of a scrap between, you know, third, fourth, fifth, where easily the guys could have been in the wall. Comes through with two fourth place finishes. Doesn't have a great NOLA Motorsports Park weekend, but not because of him. Other drivers kind of got into him. He was involved in a couple incidents that really weren't his, so I'll give him a pass there. But then he comes into Indy, a good race one, strong podium race number two after the wreck between first and second in turn one. He'll take those points. Dude, it moves him to fifth place in points, which I think is massive. This kid's gunning for his first win. And again, a tremendous interview. We talk a lot about what it's like to be a race car driver. You know, when you're in Indianapolis, the speedway's the place you want to make it happen. And I love when we see a kid that does that. When you get up on top of the podium for the first time, you know, you're at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's just got to be a great feeling. And again, it was a fantastic interview. Let's check in now. I had a chance to sit down with Elliott Cox. Well, he's only a couple days from coming off of a fantastic weekend, because there was really a kind of a Friday-Saturday event at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the Indy GP. But Elliott Cox joining me here on the Insider Podcast. Of course, Elliott, the driver of the number 67, Drive Planning Tatis USF 22 for Sarah Fisher-Hartman Racing Development. Indiana guy, obviously a big weekend. Elliott, how are you doing? First off, thanks you so much. I know you had a workout today, but thanks for joining me today.
Absolutely. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
I got to think you're pretty excited coming off a pretty good weekend. We'll dive deeper into the event at Indianapolis, but just give me your feeling right now, a couple of days on. Must be pretty good to have had such a solid finish in race two.
It's absolutely amazing to have come through and get my first podium in the USF 2000 series at my home track, Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It was almost a peek into what I want my future to be, with my goal being to be the youngest winner of the Indy 500, to stand on that podium and just see what, like a little sneak peek of what I hope it'll be like.
Right. I love it. Well, okay. So as we always do with the podcast, I want to give everybody a little look back kind of into your career, how you got into the sport, that kind of thing. You know, we do know you a little more than some of the other new drivers. You did run in USF 2000 last year. And of course, USF Juniors the year before, but just give me, re-educate me. How did you get into karting? I know you obviously, I followed you through your young years, a lot of karting. How did you get into it? What drew you into racing?
So I started racing when I was 5 years old. I had originally wanted a dirt bike, and nobody thought that was a good idea in my family. So my grandpap actually took me to Comet Kart sales and got me a go-kart for the first time ever. He told everybody in my family, including me, that it was going to be a yard cart, but I'm pretty sure he knew it was a racing car, and he knew what he was getting us into.
Love it.
So we took it home, And my mom didn't give him permission for any of this. And he said, go get your mom. I'm going to need her to help me get this out. And when I went and tried to tell my mom that he needed help unloading, she said, oh no, what did you buy? And she came out and kind of lost her mind and asked him if he was crazy. And told me I'd never drive it anywhere but the grass. But she was actually the one who took me to the go-kart track at Whiteland Raceway Park for the first time.
Wow.
Got me lessons, and I just fell in love with it. And I think the first time I came off the track, I told her that's what God made me to do. So,
and it all happened because of Grandpap, right? That's perfect. I love it, because obviously we're way down the road, you know, 11 years down the road now from that first time. That's awesome. So I know you did a lot of karting throughout Indiana, as we know. You Whiteland Raceway Park, Newcastle Motorsports Park. You ran locally, regionally. You did some national racing as well, as so many karters did, drivers did. So we don't need to dive too much into that. But where was the transition? When did you and the family, your mom and dad, when did you decide, hey, we're in the karting, we want to make the move into cars? And maybe talk a little bit too about the relationship with, you know, Sarah Fisher and Andy O'Gara as well. They're a key part of your program. How did it all come together for you to move out of karting into cars?
So it all kind of started. I won the SCUSA Pro Tour Championship in 2017, moved my way up to juniors, had a couple really good seasons in juniors, and then moved my way into seniors locally. And that was actually when Sarah Fisher and Andy O'Gara actually bought the Whiteland Raceway Park track here in Indiana.
Yep.
And coming from, that's where I kind of started my racing journey. We came back and were one of the quicker supporters of their program. We bought the garage immediately, and just started turning laps constantly over and over. And I actually made friends with their son, Danny, without realizing who it was at first. And he took me back to their garage and we ate strawberries for the first time. And that's when I met Sarah.
I love it.
And that was kind of just where our relationship started. We became like really good friends. And I just developed a relationship with them that was kind of unlike any other. And we had known I had wanted to move to cars for a long time. We just, budget-wise, didn't know how it was going to be possible. So my mom and dad, I was 11 or 12 at the time, and my mom and dad invited Sarah and Andy to our house for dinner, and they just wanted to pick their brains on how, like, the knowledge that they have, how could we get into a program?
Of course.
And Sarah and Andy decided that they were going to start another junior formula team around me after that meeting, and it all has just kind of come together from then. I've worked my way up. We started in the USF four category, and yep, we moved to USF juniors 2 years ago. And then we had a pretty good season there. Moved our way to USF 2000 last year. It was a very good learning year. And then this year, starting out very strong and hopefully making a run for a championship.
Yeah. So there you go. Kind of fast forwarding right to where we are right now. Sarah Fisher Hartman Racing Development, single car effort. You've got some good sponsors. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Last year, again, as you said, a rookie in USF 2000, you ended up finishing 12th in the points, a couple of high finishes though, highlights, obviously fifth at Sebring, and then a strong fifth place run at Road America as well. So there were some good finishes, a lot of top tens. You kind of were learning, right? That's, you and I talk a lot about the way you were learning. So before we dive in to kind of 2024, let's talk about the fact that you learned and then the kind of transition you had mindset wise, because you and I talked about it before St. Petersburg, before you rolled out there, where you were just stellar. You were just the way you ran, the maturity you showed in the middle of a great battle there with Sam Corey and Michael Costello. You brought home a couple of fourth place finishes. Like, you came out of the gate with a different mindset. It seems like you were focused on making sure you were going to finish races and finish strong. Can you talk a bit about what it was like coming into a second year? It's something that I think all the racers need to understand, how you guys change from year to year.
Absolutely. You know, last year it was a learning year. Like I had said before, we showed some really good speed in a lot of times. And I think I just got a little excited. I forced a couple issues that didn't need to be forced. We had a couple good finishes, but I think we deserved a couple more good ones that just didn't come because of my mistakes or just getting caught up in others' mistakes. But for sure, coming into St. Pete this year after Portland, immediately me, Sarah, Andy, and the whole team just kind of sat down. We talked about what we did good and what we needed to do better. And one of those key points was just we needed to be in a better position and not force as many issues, not make as many mistakes.
Yeah.
So like I said, like I talked to you before, St. Pete, I really shifted my focus onto my consistency. We know I had the aggression, I could make moves, but I needed to work on the consistency side of things, finishing the races, getting those points. And we came into St. Pete, we were second in first practice, which was awesome. We had made the good strides in the speed of the car. And then the real challenge was going into the races, you know, just not getting too excited again. There were multiple times I think we could have made a challenge to finish third, second, or first. But in my mind, we just needed to finish in the top five and gain momentum going through. And I think we've done that in a very good way. And we've been very successful this season as far as that goes in making our leaps in the team.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Obviously, very strong at St. Pete. We talked about that with a couple of fourths. You go to NOLA Motorsports Park, and you were running, again, very, very impressively, right? Top five, top 10 the entire time. The mistakes that were made weren't really, I don't think, weren't your mistakes, right? There were other people that kind of got into you a little bit, and you end up being the one on the negative side of it, finishes of 11th, 12th, and 16th. So those weren't the runs you wanted, but still, in a big field. And then, of course, then you come into Indianapolis, your track, you know, you've done a couple of fall combines there. You did 2022 back with Future Star Racing, of course, with Sarah Fisher Hartman Racing Development in 2023. Qualify fourth, seventh in the opening race. So you had to have a good feeling just the way things were playing out that you knew that you were on form. I think it was kind of you backing up how well you did at St. Petersburg.
Absolutely. You know, we came into IMS and it had been my focus since the moment we left NOLA. I had spent so much time on the simulator, so much time researching, you know, the starts of the races and just kind of how everything has gone in the past years, because last year we did not have a very good IMS. Again, a couple of those instances where I was pushing the issue or got caught up in somebody else's. And Indianapolis is my dream. You know, I want to do so good overall than anywhere else is those Indianapolis races. And we came out, we didn't place super high in the practice sessions, but we never got very clean runs. We knew our car was extremely strong. Going into the qualifying runs, we had a very good run. I messed up our first set of tires with a flat spot. We came out and qualified fourth and second for the races, which was incredible. You know, we qualified, I think, third in 2023 in the rain, but we never had that pace in the dry. And to qualify fourth and second, my first front row start in the USF Pro Championship was awesome as well. The team was absolutely pumped. And then going into race one, you know, we had a fairly decent start, got pushed back to, I think, sixth, was working our way through, and got caught up in another incident with another driver, but worked my way back up to seventh place, which last year would have been a phenomenal result, which kind of shows the maturity and the growth in our team that we were slightly disappointed with the seventh place instead of celebrating it. But then we shifted our focus to Saturday, of course, and we didn't have the strongest car, but again, on that mentality note, I just kind of kept myself in one of those good places, kept myself in a safe spot for that. When that last lap came around, they were all battling and I was just kind of sitting there biding my time with what I had. And it actually, it felt like for the first time in a while, something fell the right way for us. And we got our first podium, and to do it at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, I couldn't have asked for a whole lot more.
And you think about it, you know, the way you were able to perform there, right? You talked about being moved back and then an instant and fighting your way back forward in race one and then being where you needed to be in race two. All this at an Indianapolis weekend, which for you is going to be the most stressful weekend. Friends, family, sponsors there, you know, the pressure you put on yourself to perform in front of everybody. You know, listen, I walked by your pit a lot and there was a ton of people in and out. I know your suite was full of people upstairs, your you know, sponsors, supporters. How much pressure did you feel? Like, probably just as much pressure you put on yourself to perform at that track, but man, a lot of people around for that weekend.
Absolutely. I feel like the pressure I felt at Indianapolis was definitely, I think, the most pressure I've ever felt in a race. Not because of the amount of people that were there, but because I knew that we had the speed and I knew that we had the opportunity to get our first podium and to possibly even get our first win. I was dead set on, and I even told the climb that I was ready to get a podium here. And I kind of put that pressure on myself because I set the expectation that I was walking away from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with hardware. Because that's always been my goal, right? And I know we've had the speed, so that's just kind of where I was mentally. So I put a ton of pressure on myself. And then obviously being at home, all the Hoosiers want to see the local boy do well as well. So walking around the pits, the energy obviously is amazing. Everybody kind of cheering you on. And then drive planning, they brought out, I think, 120 some people.
Wow.
Everybody was there. Everybody was cheering. We had a full suite during the feeder series races, which was absolutely amazing. You could feel the energy on pit lane. And when I went up on that podium and everybody was there cheering for me, it was just an absolute relief.
How great was that, by the way? Like, I call your name, they're behind me, and I just got out of the way so you could say hi to everybody because they were screaming and yelling, hooting and hollering.
Oh, it was so cool. Everybody cheering there. Everybody was there. I think Andy and Sarah almost jumped over the wall. Danny almost jumped over the wall. I had my mom and my dad were crying. They've worked just as hard as I have during this whole thing to get me where I am now. And it's all one big team effort. So to see everybody there and everybody happy, not only made me happy, but I think just kind of fulfilled everybody. We've all known what we were capable of, and it's finally coming together in the best way possible. And I think it's just going to keep getting better down the road. Of course, the first podium, everybody will tell you the first one's the hardest, and the pressure of getting that one is finally gone, and we can start focusing on getting that first win. And I'm really looking forward to doing that. I think our team is extremely capable of winning one, if not more, races during the course of this season, and I'm super excited to see where that goes.
And Elliot, how about this for a single car team as well, right? You're up against, you know, teams with 2, 3, 5, you know, you name it, amount of drivers under the tent, all those streams of data. You're sitting in there looking over, you know, they're overlaying data as you've done through your karting career, and your car career continues. There are disadvantages of not having other data, but on the other side, maybe the commercial side, you know, it's your team, right? Everything's drive planning, everything's sponsorship. You know, it's not like you're running a team colors, you're running your colors. There are disadvantages and advantages, of course, of having a single car team. What are your thoughts on that? Do you like being that lone wolf under the tent with the crew?
Absolutely. I love it more than I think anybody understands. Obviously, there's challenges with it, not having the data, not being able to test the three different setups at once.
Yep.
But when it pays off and you finish well and you do well, and you're fighting with all these teams like Paps Racing and Jay Howard and VRD, and you're that one single car team that can do it as well, it kind of shows everybody the work and determination that my whole team has, the determination that I have as well. And I think if anything, it's going to benefit my career down the road. I don't have that, you know, picture perfect equipment all the time, and it'll help tune my driving skills, I think, as well. And being able to have our own team, have everything branded our colors, just makes it that much more special for everybody, I think. And it's a very cool experience for me, and a very cool experience for a lot of other people as well.
Let me give you a quick chance, speaking of those colors and everything, let me give you a little shot to promote drive planning. Tell them, what is drive planning? Let everybody know kind of what it is and who they are.
Drive planning is a financial planning company. Their motto is to make more and live more. And they promote that through the racing team. So I think it's a very good opportunity for me and for them to promote themselves through the live more side of racing. You know, racing is a very fun, very like into it sport. So that's where they kind of, I think, it works out perfectly. And of course their name is Drive Planning, and where better to promote yourself in a driving sport.
Agreed.
Everybody's amazing. Jerry Leonarducci, David Bradford, Todd Burkhalter. They're all so supportive. It's grown to be more than just a partnership and more of a family. I went down to St. Petersburg a couple days early and spent time with everybody. And it's so much more than a partnership. And I think that's what you want from any type of partnership, is it's more of a family. My team's, the way I look at it, being a one car team, is everybody's here and everybody's a family.
I love it. That's awesome.
All of our partners just make it that much more special.
So momentum is there. Coming out that the big run at St. Petersburg to start the season, you bounce back from NOLA with a couple of top tens and a podium in Indianapolis. So huge for you. Listen, the cool thing is the next couple of races really play nicely, right? So we're literally staying still in Indiana. We're going to go, 6 miles, I think it is, west to IRP for the Freedom 75 and the Carb Night Classic next week, next Thursday and Friday. Again, when we talk about Sarah Fisher and, of course, Andy O'Gara, the O'Garas will be there probably in a number of categories, as we know, with Silver Crown and Midgets and whatever it may be. You qualified, 11th last year. You finished 9th in the Freedom 75. Again, coming in with another year of experience, right? What are your thoughts going to the Oval for the Freedom 75?
I'm absolutely ecstatic to go back to the Oval. Oval racing to me last year was my first time, and I think that's the most fun racing I've ever had. It's all super close, super intense, and I don't think what showed last year was very reflective of what speed we actually had. You know, we were top five in every practice session, and we had a bit of a tire issue in qualifying, and then IRP is extremely hard to pass. So moving up those spots with some very tight battles with some very fast people in between was very awesome. Got some very good experience. And I think going back there as a second year team with experience, we also came off some hardships at IMS last year, so that we had a lot going on. So I think this year, everything's a lot more structured. Everything's a lot more organized. We have that data, we have that video, and we have a good team behind us. You know, Sarah's driven on ovals, Kyle and everybody in the Midget Silver Crown Sprint Car team has driven on ovals. And I think it's going to be extremely good. And I'm personally, my expectation is we go out there and challenge for the win. And I think they have that same expectation. So I'm very excited.
All right. So looking forward, as I'm saying, there's lots of momentum, right? So you go in there, you're excited to be at IRP for the second year. Everybody dialed back in. You're into your second year. You've had the experience, which is key at that racetrack. From there, we go to Road America, where you had one of your best finishes last year. It feels to me like things are lining up nicely for momentum going into the middle of the season.
It's absolutely perfect. You know, we've lined ourselves up well. We've come off that first part of the season where you kind of have to get through it. Now we can start making moves in the championship. Obviously, my mindset is to stay consistent and finish those races, but I know we're going to some tracks that we're extremely strong at. You know, Road America, we had our best finish last year there. That track is absolutely so much fun. You know, maxing out sixth gear on the back straightaway is amazing. And that draft, it reminds me of Newcastle Motorsports Park growing up, managing the draft. It's super fun. And then Mid-Ohio, we had a ton of speed there in race one. Unfortunately, our car got damaged last year and we weren't able to showcase it the rest of the weekend. But I think that's going to be an extremely strong track for us as well. And then going into, I think, Toronto.
You're coming off a couple of top fives at St. Pete. That's got to be good too. Yeah. Right?
I love the street courses. Toronto, we were extremely strong at as well last year. Again, the luck just didn't fall our way, but I feel like the rest of the season are tracks that we as a team are extremely strong at, and we're coming off that first year of experience, and we're going to be able to challenge for a lot more of these podiums and wins, and I'm extremely excited.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what you're able to accomplish here in 2024. I'll cap it off with this. I know it's looking way forward, and I'm sure there's maybe been some conversations. Is the idea to go to USF Pro 2000 next year, or do you want to come back to USF 2000 one more year?
I think my goal and the team's goal is to move up next year.
Okay.
That's absolutely
it. Yeah, there you go. Hey, listen, that's the plan. We always say it's 2 years and moves. So some drivers have stayed three, others, you know, obviously making the move. So it would be awesome to see you guys go to USF Pro 2000 next year. It's been a solid first couple of races, no doubt about that. The podium at Indianapolis, well-deserved. And of course, again, you did the stuff you needed to be there at the end. I think that was the difference between last year and this year. You had a fifth, you were fifth. Something happened. You weren't involved. And that's the beauty of it. You made sure you were in a place to capitalize on anything that happened. You got that and were paid off with a solid podium finish at Indy. Let's wrap things up with, I want people to follow you on social media. What platforms, Elliot, are you leveraging? What are you active on? Give me the addresses so people can start following the kid from Indianapolis who wants to be the youngest ever to win the 500.
Instagram, you can follow me at EC_51. On Facebook, you can follow me at ElliotCox51, and on Twitter as well at ElliotCox51.
I love it. Excited for the rest of the season?
Absolutely, Rob.
Let's go racing, right? That's enough. lots of testing, as we know, between now and the race at Indianapolis Raceway Park. Hopefully testing goes well for you, Elliot. And listen, I appreciate you taking the time out here on a Monday. We will see you in just over a week's time at IRP.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Well, there you go. Two fantastic interviews with two great young drivers, two great young men, one from New Zealand, one from Indianapolis, Indiana. And again, just great way to wrap things up from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Road Course weekend. The Continental Tire Grand Prix of Indianapolis and the VP Racing Grand Prix of Indianapolis. I love going to that event. I know it's a couple of weeks before the Indy 500. We're out at the Carbonite Classic, you know, in just over a week's time right now as well. But I just love that race. Most drivers you'll talk to love the track. Liam even said it's not a super technical racetrack, but it races so well. And that's what I think I like about it. I will say that the racing was pretty aggressive. And I know in talking to the race control, they weren't overly pleased. There was a lot of drivers that did the one thing that race control doesn't want them to do, and that's make that pass down the inside, but not complete it. How many times have you watched the race? Did you see drivers go on the inside, make the move to the inside, maybe climb a curb? No business being there. The pass wasn't done. And so we had tons of right front to left rear contact, left front to right rear contact. Anytime you have that, you're not there. You don't have it done yet. And race control, I know, not happy at all. Would not be surprised to see some more penalties coming down for that, because that's one of the things that, you know, when you make, especially at the speedway, you make big long runs, two of the longest straightaways on the schedule, all the way down to turn one. If you're not clear to the inside where you think you have it, you got to give it up there. One, the driver can go around the outside for sure, but still, once you're passed, right, you got to give enough room. Same thing for turn seven, the end of Hullman Boulevard. When a driver comes down, you come down the inside on someone, unless you've kind of taken over the apex and you're side by side, you don't have it. And we saw a lot of drivers, number one, climb the curb on the inside of turn seven, and then, of course, shoot across and hit the guy beside them. And then we saw drivers dive so far in there they couldn't make the corner and actually shove drivers off into the grass. So I will say the racing was fantastic to a certain extent, but there were a lot of incidents, and you can go back in and watch it, where you go, nope, not enough. You weren't there. Check, you weren't there. And I know talking to race control after the weekend was up, they were not thrilled with the quality of the racing. All told, there was some amazing racing, but not everywhere. So look for some ramifications coming down from this. A lot of drivers are going to get talked to because moving forward into Road America, another track with a lot of long straightaways where you're diving down the inside on guys, whether it's Canada Corner, Turn 1, Turn 5, down to hurry downs. Again, a lot of 90-degree hard-breaking corners at Road America. I have a feeling that race control is going to say, listen, you guys got to get your act together and stop. You know, if you're going to do it, be decisive, complete the pass, and get the job done. If you don't, back out and get away from the guy, because there's a lot of contact, as we know. So let's look forward. What do we got coming? As I said, here we are early. It's did all the interviews on Monday. It's Tuesday right now, and I'm finishing things up here. I'll have this thing posted today here on Tuesday. They're actually on track next Wednesday at IRP for a test between 1 and 5. Obviously, brand new season. We're on the Continentals now, so time to get a chance for all the teams and drivers to get 4 hours feeling out the Continental tires they'll be using on the oval. Then they'll have another test day on Thursday with qualifying, and then, of course, we race on Friday night for the Carbonite Classic. Always a tremendous weekend. Freedom 75 and Freedom 90, May 23rd, 24th at Indianapolis Raceway Park for both USF 2000 and USF Pro 2000. Then we go forward a couple more weeks. Both those categories will be back at Road America for that event. And the week after that, we will be at Virginia International Raceway with USF Juniors. Those drivers kind of hanging around, ready to get it back at it again. Looking forward to going racing with the juniors. A huge field this year, 26 cars. I think we may get to 28 before the end of the year, 29. You never know. We could dip down to 25. It depends on how things go. I know if there's Pole Position Motorsports in South Florida's got cars. They're ready to jump into the series as well. We had three cars at Zanella Racing at Barber. Do they stay with three? There's another couple of drivers I know that have been testing that haven't showed yet. So we could have 28 drivers at one point in USF Juniors. All told, juniors have done a great job throughout the season so far. So again, that wraps things up for this edition. This is episode number 61. 1 week's time, just over a week. Time to go oval racing with USF 2000, USF Pro 2000, the Carb Night Classic, Silver Crown on the docket as well, the midgets, USF 2000, USF Pro 2000, always the best way to spend a Friday night before the Indianapolis 500. Excited to get to that fantastic high-banked 5/8 mile oval. In years past, we've had some really good runs. A lot of green to checker racing. I think one yellow for an issue, and just an issue on pit lane, I believe, last year in USF 2000. Our drivers do a great job there, and so many of them very, very excited to get there as well, which I think is great. They're pumped to get a chance to get on the oval. So there, that wraps things up. Looking forward to the next one. I'm hopefully going to put another podcast together to maybe preview the oval race a little bit. I've talked to a couple drivers. There is a ton of testing going on. There's testing at Mid-Ohio on Thursday, Road America next Monday. So I don't know whether or not I'll be able to find the time to put it together. If I do, look for a show early next week. Otherwise, we'll do one after the Carb Night Classic. Folks, thank you so much. I do appreciate you listening to the podcast, and all of the drivers do as well. Great opportunity to get to learn more about the future stars of IndyCar. Thanks so much for tuning in, folks. My name's Rob Howden. Bye for now.